Reaction commencing.
I am composed of small kitten.
If I survived a Sharknado, it would make me look at the world in a whole new light.
That's why you don't read from the book.
Kurt's little brother, Chaos.
The end times are upon us.
I just butchered that, I think.
And now, I got you back, right?
Hi, I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And you're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast post Gen Con 2014. Of course, Gen Con is going to be the subject of most of our conversation today, but we've got a little back and forth we want to do on GURPS 3rd and 4th edition, so look for that. It's going to be an all-gaming-related podcast today, so stick around. Leading off, Isaiah's in the reaction chamber with us because he got to go to Gen Con with me this year. And he has some things that he wants to talk about his Gen Con experience. So, lead off. Introduce yourself and lead off.
What's up, everybody? I'm Isaiah. When we got to Gen Con, we looked at dice, and then everyone was gone. So, my dad, my sister, and I went around looking at booths, going line by line. We found Chase Dreamin'. Tasty Minstrel, and they were selling some pretty cool stuff. Even Dogon their Dragon. We went to some anime booths, and back to the Doctor Who booth. I made a buffer weapon, and so did my sister. We saw giant Roborally with RC Legos. It was amazing.
So yeah, Gen Con was pretty cool. Our second ever trip, and learned some lessons. Primarily among them, pay attention to the schedule. Read the schedule.
Yep.
Get there early. Get there often. And pack Cliff Bars because doggone it, people who are unused to going all day on their feet get grumpy. And yes, I'm looking at Isaiah and Greg here.
Yep. God, he was.
Yeah, anyway. But it was still a cool experience. There was lots of stuff to do and lots of stuff that we didn't get to do. But you know what? We have a better plan of attack for Gen Con 2015. In fact, my wife's already planning to make a weekend of it and stay in a Homewood Suites and the whole deal. So any way you cut it, it's going to be exciting. Curtis, you want to share some of your own Gen Con impressions?
It was awesome. I love cosplay girls. I do.
Now, yeah. You spent most of your time in the exhibit hall.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What was the point of why we hit the exhibit hall first and stayed there quite so long?
Because we can see everything.
No argument there.
It's just, you know, every store, every vendor, every maker of a game is there that we want. You can meet the guys that make it. And everything's there.
That was very cool. I did get to speak very briefly with Michael Mendez. And he was kind of busy, and I was riding herd on children, so it wasn't much more of a, hey, how are you? You know, we enjoy playing your games. Thank you very much. And he seemed to be a friendly guy.
Oh, yeah. Guys at Goodman Games are always friendly and pushing their games.
Yeah, they wanted to talk.
Oh, they do. If you get and talk, because last year they did, this year it's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the one dude at Goodman, I don't think he even worked for them. I think he was one of their guest writers.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you want to buy a book? I'll sign it for you. Sign anything you want.
But yeah.
So that was cool. Had a little different experience with Troll and Toad this year. How was that different?
Well, they just had cards. Last year they had the used games they were mainly doing. This year they was just a card booth, and then Chimera Hobby Shop next to them did all the used games.
Yeah.
Which didn't hurt.
No, doesn't hurt. Can always use a large selection of out-of-print games at the gaming convention.
Oh, God, yeah.
would have liked to have done more with that, but the opportunity just didn't present itself.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Ran out of time.
I still kind of regret that I didn't get to. You know, I hit every dice booth I could find.
I still can't believe you can't find those dice.
And no, they do not exist.
That's bull.
I checked to the cop law.
I've got some.
I found mine. I've got a couple of ten siders are all that remain. But yeah, I mean, I checked. I found them in the cop law catalog.
May it just, I don't know.
But the booth there at the show just didn't have them. And I'm talking about these sparkly glitter dice that cop law makes. They're translucent dice in a variety of colors with you know,
sparkles.
Glitter.
Yeah,
glitter embedded in the die. And they look very, very cool. I just can't find them anywhere.
I
don't know. It's a mystery of life. The universe may never know.
True.
Yeah. So what in particular did you want to go looking for that either you didn't find or didn't get an opportunity for? Just one thing. Yeah, I see the smoke coming out of your ears and the list scrolling across the back of your eyeballs. But just one thing. I think
WizKids.
Okay.
WizKids, they make the Pathfinder mention and stuff. I want to hit their booth to get the Godzilla and the Pacific Rim miniatures if they had them for HeroClix. I didn't get to hit them at all.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I would have liked to have hit SFR and get some dragon dice because that's something I think would have been very, very cool and get to talk to those guys.
Yeah.
I love the dragon dice, and I guess I was hoping really that they would have some of the either the harder to find dice or just loose dragon dice.
Yeah, but we won't know.
Yeah, we won't know. You know what? Gen Con 2015, I'm going to make it a goal.
Got to stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan. I think that was our biggest failing. We made plans. We've been making plans for weeks ahead of time. You know.
Yeah, but I hit half of mine, and still it wasn't enough. That's the scarier part.
Yeah, I didn't even get to a quarter of the stuff that I had wanted to do.
But we got there a little late, and then they closed at 6, which is weird.
I know, but it's in the program. We just didn't read it.
Yeah.
If we had known that, we'd have been out the door at 4 a.m. instead of lollygagging around until 7 o'clock.
Yeah, banker's hours. Yeah.
Oh, well. We know. And once again, I missed playing that giant-sized King of Tokyo.
Yeah. We're getting in the line for the buy the damn thing.
Oh,
my God.
Line going all the way around the yellow booth, lined up for King of New York.
I was like, damn.
So that was something else. That's all right. Next year, doggone it. I'm going to Gen Con. I'm going to actually play some games at the gaming convention. Uh-huh. Going to happen.
Yeah.
Going to happen. Anyway. Any other, do we have any other insights or,
Can't do it in just one day. It has to be two.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
I mean, I guess if you're focused,
if you just go straight for the boost you want, like I, and then maybe, but I think I still would have missed it.
I think it's possible. I think we would have missed something no matter what we did.
Yeah.
I think that, I just don't know. There's so much side stuff that I want to do.
Yep, that's like 2 days.
So, just one of those things. We'll plan out better next time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we talked about going into this, what we were going to be looking for was the Ogre Designers Edition, 6th edition.
Yeah,
Ogre.
Didn't even hit the Steve Jackson booth. Yeah, that was sacrilege.
Well, to be fair, I did make it to the Steve Jackson booth very briefly, long enough to pick up some Munchkin Ten Siders.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any there.
No,
so
probably not.
It wouldn't surprise me if they did.
Yeah. Or if it was, it probably got sold Friday, Thursday.
Could be.
You know, as soon as they opened, somebody saw it. I want it.
Sawed it and gone.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here and refresh some drinks and play something interesting for you. Be back in a month.
at Pete's, who took so long to seat you and left you to stand in the doorway. With her stringy red hair and her thousand-yard stare, in her mind she's the princess of Norway. As she takes down your order, she's crossing the fjord. Her white stallion spits calm like a madman. Many Vikings have died trying to take her as bride, but her heart is reserved for a bad. She survives in a world she contrives. Inhibited husbands and frustrated wives lead rich fantasy lives. The guy from IT resurrects your PC with a boredom he barely suppresses. Though he rarely converses, he has more universes in his head than you've got addresses. He wargames through weekends, leads armies and legions. He doesn't care how well you put it. He's browsing reality's infinite palette. He's seen yours and yours doesn't cut it. And cubicle vibes lead rich fantasy lives. We're piling up fears, but we're out of frontiers. Some need to escape, but there's nowhere. Can't go to the moon, at least anytime soon. But an inner space trip costs you no fare. So don't be unkind to a wandering mind. Just say it again if we missed it. Some whispering poem was calling us home to a place we know never existed. Rich fantasy lives, our peace bonded knives and our hyperspace drives. Until that steam engine to Hogwarts arrives, we'll have rich fantasy lives, our quests and our tribes and our Babylon fives. Until something better than this world arrives, we'll have rich fantasy lives. Rich fantasy lives. Rich fantasy lives.
All right, welcome back. And that was music from The Fump. And I have recently rediscovered the Fump and their assortment of good PodSafe stuff. And so
PodSafe?
PodSafe, yes. It means that their music is published with a license that allows you to replay it on your podcast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very cool. So there you have it. Go check that out. All right. So, in one corner, we have GURPS, 3rd edition, classic. GURPS Classic.
That's what it's called nowadays, classic.
Right. Been around since 1986. And in the other corner, we have GURPS, 4th edition, celebrating its 10th anniversary. I know, right?
Damn.
And
I remember when they was coming out with it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that long ago that 4th edition premiered, and we were lamenting the absence of GURPS 3rd edition.
Yeah.
So we've since we have recently restarted a GURPS campaign,
yep.
We're going to take a minute to put them in the ring and let them fight to the death. Now, my own opinions on this are really kind of bland. GURPS 4th edition, I don't see a whole lot of changes between 3rd and 4th edition. The costs are a little bit different on some of the advantages and skills and things. GURPS, yep. If you're not familiar with it, is a point-buy system where your character is constructed from the ground up using, you know, a
point total.
Yeah, using a point total. And then it gets very detailed with the map combat and combat result tables and all the different
skills, advantages, disadvantages, quirks, attributes.
Right, all the different things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
The new line of 4th edition product is being supported primarily as PDF entries. We'll talk about how we feel about that. And then there is also a line of high-quality hardcovers that go with that, and we'll talk about how we feel about that.
Yep.
So, for my money, GURPS 4th edition seems to me to be basically 3rd edition with some of the math tweaked a little bit. The skills and advantages and things that were spread out over the whole range of source books consolidated into one. And beyond that, I just don't see a whole lot. So there you go. There's my opening salvo for you. GURPS 4th edition is basically GURPS 3rd edition, only streamlined. All right, Kurt, are you ready to stop hacking up a lung and come out swinging for 3rd edition?
You're wrong.
This is you. Well, I conceded I usually am when we get into this, but like I said, I'm willing to make a production of it.
Well, you're right on the parts where they condensed it and stuff, but they took out some of the stuff I like and love about 3rd, the language talent. But they took out the language talent, so, and changed the language structure, purchasing and stuff, where basically you couldn't have a character with 30 languages. Well, you could, but that would be his main thing because all the point cost. But, you know, like you said, they trimmed the cost on some of the advantages and stuff, consolidated a few things on advantages and the perception, the attributes, all that stuff.
Now, the area of perception is one that we talked about earlier where they made a fairly significant change. Do you want to talk about that?
It's like, if I can remember right, it's its own attribute now instead of just an IQ row. And then you can purchase, like, for so many points, raise it and stuff.
Right. So it's a derived statistic the way move and dodge is.
Yeah. But it's just that now the books, they've basically, to me, lost the extra fun stuff, the example characters, the bibliography, if it's not in the books on the internet now.
I miss the GURPS bibliographies.
I mean, you got to go there. I mean, it's just, it changed too much. And the support of it's not enough, I think.
And we all realize and understand that change is always bad.
Yeah, but they're not supporting it like they did with the old GURPS, 3rd edition. I mean, each book had plenty of example characters or templates. These got them, but not enough, I think. Or their excuse now or their reason says, well, just go to 3rd edition books to get what you need and fix it.
The GURPS 3rd edition books are, by and large, 128 pages.
Yep.
In the regular 8.5x11 format.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, so yeah, go ahead and talk about how those are constructed. What does a 3rd edition GURPS source book look like?
A book with paper.
You're hilarious.
It started with, you know, what type, like special ops, time travel. It was its own specific setting. It had all the advantages, skills, templates, or character options you needed to do a time travel or special ops. But it also had characters already created in sidebar or in the back as villains or example characters, which now they do, but not extensively enough, I don't think.
The 4th edition approach to this same thing is, instead of before where we had the licensed product issue is a whole nother kettle of fish. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But where before you would have, say, GURPS Fantasy. And mm-hmm. GURPS Fantasy presents the world of Earth,
mm-hmm.
with a Y.
Yurth.
Yurth.
Yurt.
And the magic system that goes with that. or GURPS Supers presents the Supers world,
mm-hmm.
and the system that goes with that. And the current approach is to present these things as their own core books that stand alongside the GURPS basic set and treat the mechanics of it
as part of the system.
Yeah, they treat the mechanics of it more intensively.
Because like powers, it covers all magic, psi.
Right.
But then if you want to do supers, they have the smaller, more of a world book for supers to play superhero games, which is fine, but it's a PDF.
Right. We'll come back to that, the new reliance on PDFs. But so we have GURPS Banestorm, I think, is the closest we've got to a proper setting book, don't we?
In the fourth edition.
They did Infinite Worlds.
Yeah.
But Infinite Worlds was less about a proper setting
than
it was here are the rules that allow you to build your own.
Yeah, because here's the settings, here's all the worlds, and in the back, well, here's one way you can do it, here's another way you can do it, here's a little bit of that and a little bit of that, and you decide and go with what you want.
Right. Whereas if we compare this to the third edition analogs, Banestorm is a product of the world of Yrth.
Mm-hmm.
And in GURPS Fantasy, Yrth and the Banestorm are presented as a cohesive setting with the magic rules that go along with that.
Yes.
Now, the magic rules in 3rd edition Yrth are not as extensive as they are. They're not as comprehensive as they are in 4th edition Fantasy, or 4th edition Powers, I guess it is.
Yeah.
But they're more tightly focused.
Mm-hmm. For that setting.
For that setting, exactly. And so Infinite Worlds is, again, it's a broad overview of this is the number of the number and types of things that you can do, but you go into GURPS 3rd edition and you grab GURPS Camelot, and it is all of the stuff that is relevant to Camelot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You grab the Old West, and it's all the stuff that's relevant to the Old West.
Yeah.
And it's fairly tightly focused.
4th edition Infinite Worlds basically combine time travel, the timeline, and the two Infinite Worlds books from 3rd edition into one book, and then threw out some stuff.
Right. And I think that's what we're feeling the lack of. They focused really intensely on
mechanics.
The mechanics of the system, which is fine. We're mechanics types people.
Junkies.
Yeah. We're math junkies. But
I want my story.
We do want those elements of setting that are vital to the story, and that's something that that we miss in the regular GURPS source books. Mm-hmm. Not only would they talk about elements of setting that are vital to, but they also talked about common things in the historical eras that are analogous to these settings that they're going into. So GURPS Atomic Horror talks about the 50s. And the attitudes of the 50s, as well as
the lifestyle, everything.
Right.
And now, giant ants. Oh,
right. You know, Camelot talks about more than just how you run a tourney and how to make a castle siege and all this stuff. It talks about the lore of King Arthur and what goes into constructing a story within that kind of setting.
So exactly.
We're missing that content in 3rd edition.
Yeah, because I ain't seen a Camelot yet in 4th, mothers.
Well, the idea is you're supposed to take their core books.
Which is my argument is, well, if I'm doing that, I'd rather just run 3rd.
Right. And, you know, I'm completely in favor of that because, you've said a couple of examples, but I really don't see that 3rd and 4th edition are all that different.
It's just, to me, it's the additional work. I mean, there's enough differences there I have to train, but here's my dilemma. I got Greg and I got his cousin Cody. Cody's new, so we're teaching him. So I got to teach him a system. I know 4th, but I don't know it enough. Greg knows it more, but he won't run it. So I need to teach him, but I need to have enough examples so he understands. The examples out there we have more of are 3rd. It's simpler for me, and I got all those books, and I can just point, look in there, page whatever. There's an example right there of a shooter in Warriors. like he wants
right.
to make. So he can see what's going on. He can understand how to make the character and what makes that character. In fourth, I could do that, but I'd have to check with it, check versus what's changed, make sure the point totals add up, you know, everything, so he doesn't make something wrong. Or something, you know, so it's correct, so he doesn't do something wrong later or misthink something.
Right, right. So, yeah, I guess it is mostly a matter of familiarity and readiness to hand of this information.
Because, like, you know, we got the core books from fourth.
Right.
But most of it is on PDFs.
Okay, let's talk about that. Tell me about the fourth edition PDFs.
Okay, they got their core books so far, and then at some point when basically the market was dropping out of RPGs again.
Right.
Steve Jackson
happens
was making
periodically.
Yeah, Steve Jackson was making money with Munchkin, so he said, okay, we'll no longer print the books unless we're really going to put out a core book, but everything else will just be PDFs.
Makes great business decision. Makes
yes.
good sense to me.
But now you buy the PDFs. So you either print it out or you have to have electronic devices at the table and everybody's got to pull it up on their computer, iPad, whatever electronic device they pull out of their pocket. So you gotta be so everybody's got to have one of those or you got to print them out. And like Tactical Shooter or Social Engineering, they're 200-plus page books you got to print out.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot to print. It
and
gets
just
very
to run it
very quickly. And, you know, having them on the iPad is nice for reading, and having them on the computer is nice for researching, but in-game, it's very difficult,
yes.
at least for me, to be flipping through, flipping through multiple books
yeah.
on either device, looking for references or looking up things or just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just for reading, I don't have a problem with it. That's cool.
But yeah, for looking up stuff you need quick.
It's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to grab something that's printed in paper and thumb through it to the
yeah.
to the right page.
I mean, it's nice. I like it all. I mean, I love fourth. I like third. But if I had my choice, my third edition bookcase is coming with me when the fire happens. it's got everything I need, and I know where everything's at.
We're going to put that in your go bag when the zombies attack.
Oh,
we?
I'm taking it, picking it up, hefting it out.
Yeah.
And it's gone. But
all right. Yeah, so that's the PDF thing is good, and from a business standpoint, I can see how it just saves.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the cost of production and warehousing.
It's 100% profit.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I mean, you don't print nothing.
There's no overhead.
No,
it's
just
insane.
Here you go.
There's no reason not to do it. But I would like to see Steve Jackson offer, if they're not going to warehouse these products, I'd like to see them offer a print-on-demand version.
True.
The way Drive-Thru RPG does.
Didn't they do that with Mysteries or something?
No, they did a print run.
Yeah, because they sold enough.
Yeah, Mysteries was going yeah. Going crazy.
Yeah, which was weird.
And
but
they
it was
cool. They did a print run. They've done that with one or two other titles.
Yeah, if it sells enough, supposedly, they do a print run of it.
Yeah. So it's a little thing. It's not kept us from... Well, I don't know. It has kept me from buying most of their PDFs. I don't have a large stock of GURPS 4th edition PDFs. It's just not been something that... but then again, we haven't run a GURPS game in
No. We haven't done the intent to run a 4th. I mean, we bought the books, read them, we oohed, we awed.
Yeah, I know. I spent a couple months there making PsyOps characters
yeah.
in GURPS, but we never did anything.
I've looked through them, but I haven't read them enough to know them backwards and forwards because that's what will be required.
Yeah, and we were doing other stuff. I think part of the problem is that we've got more systems and more stuff to do right now than
yes.
we really have time to do it.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's talk... briefly about the quality of the printed GURPS books.
Now, from GURPS, the first run on the new books?
Oh, if okay. you're familiar with Steve Jackson's GURPS products at all, the third edition books were notorious for falling apart. I mean, just
yeah.
falling right out of the covers.
After the first opening.
Yeah.
If you open the right book and it didn't, you'd have the pages start falling out.
Yeah. I mean, I never forget, I opened my third edition GURPS book for the first time, and I hear this crack.
No.
And what on earth has happened?
Yeah. Jesus.
The spine just binding just absolutely gave way.
It's just
they
glued
even printed in the front of the book. Hey, when you get this book, break the binding a bit, warp it all around so it'll open and lay flat and do all this stuff. And
when it falls apart?
Yeah, when it falls apart, when the pages come out, put them in a 3-ring binder.
Yep.
Hey!
Mm-hmm.
Oy, ay, ay. My poor old 3rd edition book. We were...
Oh, my God. The antique.
The antique.
Because yours looks used.
Yeah, that's... I tell you what, I think next to my Ninja Turtles book... That GURPS 3rd edition got more use in high school than anything else.
Yep.
Oh, goodness gracious. But yeah, I graduated from 3-ring binder when those gave way. I put it in a spiral bound, and that's giving way. And yeah, I think it's just going to have to go into archive.
Yeah, since you got the new one coming.
I did. I got a hardcover 3rd edition revised to replace it. So that's very cool. But and you know the source books weren't a lot better. I've got 2 or 3 source books that if you're not careful with them, it's easier to do because the page count's lower. But if you're not careful with those source books, they just fall apart. And
my Conan and Riverworld did that.
But so the 4th edition books are a little bit.
We had that first incident on the first printing.
I know.
The books fell apart, like, instantly, which I was mad as hell.
You were mad. I opened my basic set, my 4th edition character book, and I hear, crack. And
like, no.
64 pages in the middle of the book, just clump. What?
Yeah, that was, for the price,
yeah, those are what, 35, 40 bucks?
They're 40 bucks each, I think, something like that, or 35.
Yeah.
They were like that, but damn.
I forget what they
hardbacks,
were.
Hardbacks, glossy, they don't fall out.
They're not supposed to, at the very least, but they did.
Yeah, and I hadn't touched mine that much, so I went home and touched mine, pop. It's like, oh, you mothers.
You know what? To be fair, I wrote to Steve Jackson about it. Well, you know, the company, not the man.
Yeah.
And they sent me a return, a return label, and they replaced my book.
Hmm.
And that was good, yes.
Well, when I did mine, I did that after yours. Well, they'd tell me, send us the books, we'll send you another one.
Huh.
And they told me just send them. They didn't say, you know, label them. Because I think they had that many problems, that many people.
Well, when I talked to the rep afterwards, because I got the new book in, and I was just really, yeah. I was scared to open it.
Yeah, because if it's the same darn thing, it'll do the same thing.
Exactly. And he said, well, we changed printers.
Mm.
And when I examined the book, the first print run on the 4th edition stuff was essentially a hardcover perfect bound.
Yep.
Where they had just, they'd used the perfect binding on it and used a hardcover instead of a soft cover.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't ever meant to lay flat like a proper hardcover is.
Right.
And when they did the new one, they used a different binding process where they used the perfect binding, but in addition to that, they sewed the it's not bound in signatures, but they put I forget what he called it too. They put a stitching through the pages above the glue bind.
Yeah.
So the books, according to the rep anyway, if I understood him correctly, the books are actually, you know, sewn. They do actually have a sewn element in there.
Yeah.
Most hardcovers are Smythe sewn, which means they're bound in signatures. The signatures are sewn together, and then the sewn signatures are bound onto a cloth strip.
Yep.
And this enables them to lay flat and gives them just incredible longevity. The Palladium books are all Smythe sewn. And those are not done in hardcover. Those are paperback books.
Never. Well, there's a few rule books, the main ones.
Well, yeah, but...
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Few and in between.
So, the quality of the hardcovers is...
It's improved.
It has improved. And, of course, they're full color, which doesn't mean as much for GURPS, I don't think.
No, because it's simple coloring. It's not, you know, extravagant.
Yeah, it's not. They don't do the full graphic design the way...
No. The border will be nice and colored. The pictures of the people will be colored on some of them. That kind of thing. But
it's like a paper-bound slideshow. PowerPoint. It's like a paper-bound PowerPoint.
Yeah. Because it just...
Yeah.
Next frame. It looks like one.
It is. That's what it looks like. So, deathmatch winner. Fourth edition or third?
Third.
Yeah.
There's just more.
You're solid in the third, and I'm afraid...
you are too.
I'm going to have to land... I am too, by...
I mean, you do you have all
by kingly fiat? Is that it?
Well, do you have all the fourth books? Do you know the macros and forwards?
I do not.
See, you just got your main books.
Yeah.
And what do you do for background? There was no fourth edition bestiary.
Yeah, that right there seems like a huge oversight.
No.
And if it wasn't so different from third, then anyway.
Yeah.
Very, very strange. But we love GURPS anyway. We like the tactical crunch of it.
Yeah.
And we're back into a GURPS campaign at the moment, so it's very, very cool.
Yep.
And it's turning out to be equal parts new adventure and old nostalgia. Do we have any closing remarks? Anything else that you want to say to add to this before we sign off?
No, not really.
No, we're lamenting the apparent death of the Steve Jackson licensed properties. That was one thing that they did really super well.
Yeah,
I mean, Witch World and River World and...
I mean, let's see, what is...
GURPS Conan and Wild Cards.
Horse Clans, Witch World.
Oh, my gosh. Pterodine, you mentioned. War Against the Chthor.
It's okay.
Did you read that one?
Yeah, I tried.
Oh, you didn't read the books.
Yeah, I tried. I tried to read the books first.
Oh.
Wow.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But, there doesn't... Lensman. Oh, man.
Lensman. But, yeah. Because right now in fourth, there's only seems to be Traveler and Volksing Saga. Other. That's it.
What he said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Volkswagen Saga, anyway. Something like that.
Well, for at least a little while, the GURPS Conan license books are back up on their Warehouse 23 in digital format. So that's worth... That's worth the time of day right there.
Yep. Got mine.
All right. Well, closing out, thank you for joining us in the Reaction Chamber. Hope you enjoyed the little musical offering earlier, and we will see you next time.
Later.
Hi, we're here on the street asking people about the Fump. Excuse me, sir. Do you know what the Fump is?
The what?
The Fump. F-U-M-P.
Oh, I don't know, but it doesn't sound appetizing. I don't want any.
Isn't that the sound a groundhog makes when you run over it with your car?
No. Can you tell me what the Fump is?
Is it the enemy in the next Spider-Man movie?
I don't think so.
A clean-burning car that runs on pancakes?
What?
Isn't that the stuff the Nutty Professor invented?
No, that's flubber. The Fump. What is the Fump?
Ooh, it's a dog. I think it's half Great Dane, half Chihuahua.
Is that even possible?
Sounds like something you get from a cheap hooker.
Oh, come on, no. Doesn't anyone around here know what the Fump is?
I do, but I'm a paid announcer with a script in front of me that explains it.
Fine, fine. Go do your thing.
The Fump is the Funny Music Project. It's a website where comedy musicians post funny songs and parodies. New songs are uploaded every Tuesday and Friday. The songs are available for free download from thefump.com or automatically via our podcast feed. The Fump features some of the biggest names in comedy music from the Dr. Demento Show, including the great Luke Ski, Robert London Spav, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Rob Balder, Possible Oscar, Tom Smith, Raymond and Scum, Power Salad, Bob Ricci, Carla Ulbrich, Steve Goody, Paul and Storm, and Jonathan Colton. High-quality downloads and compilation CDs are also available. Find us at www.thefump.com or look us up on iTunes. And for behind-the-scenes discussions on the songs posted to The Fump, listen to the Funny Music Podcast.
Thank you. See, people? Was that so hard?
So it is something you get from a cheap hooker. Look, The one I was with last Friday sold me a copy of the Volume 10 compilation CD.
Ugh, I quit. I'm going home.
The Fump. It's not something you get from a cheap hooker. Usually.